9 a.m. This meeting is called to order. Can I get a roll call, please?
Yes. Ms. Cowan.
Present.
Dr. Kolash.
Here.
Dr. Knopf.
Here.
Dr. Greeno.
Here. I want to recognize our newly licensed chiropractors. You're required to be at a board meeting within the first year of your licensure, and thanks for complying with that. You're going to see several cases before you. You may not get all of the information because we like to presume people are innocent until proven guilty, so just try to follow along and best you can, and you'll probably learn several reasons why you don't want to show up here today and be invited back. Let's move on to tab number one in the matter of Dr. Michael Chung.
Tab number one is case number 2018-025, Michael Chung. No one has signed in to speak.
Okay. Can we get a board briefing, please?
Yes. The allegations before the board are that Dr. Chung failed to release records, engaged in patient abandonment, and engaged in unprofessional conduct.
Okay, and he chose not to join by phone or in person, and he's not represented by counsel. Okay, board members, does anybody want to forward this to a formal interview or take other action at this point, make a motion?
I'll make a motion just for discussion. I'll make a motion to dismiss by issuing non-disciplinary advisory letter for a clear violation.
Okay, to have discussion, we would need a second.
Second for discussion.
Okay. So why do you feel we should dismiss this?
Ultimately, he was able to provide it. I do think he had some valid issues in getting the hard drive. I don't think he handled it correctly, just taking off, not notifying patients. It was a clear violation for not providing the records in a timely manner. He ultimately did provide them after doing some legwork to get there. So I think there's a lot of effort put into that. Just the lead up wasn't handled well. I don't know if at this point it would be possible to maybe issue a fine alongside this at this point. That might be something to consider if we can. But I'm open to other thoughts.
I think a fine would rise to disciplinary action, which would not be taken in this meeting.
And you could offer it via consent agreement, and if not accepted, some alternative, like forwarding it to a formal interview. Another option is a non-disciplinary order that would impose continuing education.
Okay.
At this stage, without a hearing or consent.
And so it's appropriate for a consent agreement motion at this time without a formal hearing?
Yeah, if you could offer that, and if not accepted, the alternative of proceeding to a formal interview where you could then impose whatever you had sought to impose by the consent agreement, but you can't impose a fine without being in the context of a formal interview or a formal hearing, or via consent.
But it would still be a disciplinary letter then of a disciplinary action.
If you were to accept
via consent. So, yeah. Discipline. Yeah. So if you vote to offer any kind of consent, you can take a roll call.
So my concern here is that you can clearly abandon patients, and I think that rises to a disciplinary action.
Okay. So he took a 2-year hiatus, correct? Like he wanted to, according to his testimony, find himself and decide if he wanted to continue being a chiropractor or not and what he was going to do. He said that he had a part-time receptionist in his office, and he said he came back monthly to check on his business, which we really don't have any proof of. So patient requested records, and I don't know. Do you think that's a patient abandonment issue, or more of a? I don't know that he abandoned anybody in the middle of a treatment protocol, as opposed to just not offering records and complying with the records release protocol.
Yeah. My concern is he's not here to answer those questions, and based on the information we have in our booklet, it looks like patients were looking for him and could not find him.
Okay, so an option would be to have a consent agreement, and if not signed, it would go to formal interview. Okay. So we have a motion and a second. Do you want to take away your second and first and rephrase that?
Do I have to go first?
Not as material. Yeah.
Okay.
I understood both to say aye, basically.
Yes, I'll remove my prior motion at this point.
I'll remove the second.
I'll make an amended motion to issue a letter of consent, which, if not signed, would then move this to a formal interview at that time. The consent agreement would include terms of issuing it. I don't know, it's usually appropriate for
either reimbursement for the cost of the investigation or civil penalty is traditional.
I think civil penalty probably makes sense in this case. I would guess it's somewhere around 250 maybe is traditional.
Correct, and up to $500 per violation of the law.
Okay.
I would, are we in discussion?
Well, no.
I'm not sure if he's
coming. Not yet. So, yeah, I would just offer a $250 civil penalty in that consent agreement.
Okay, so a disciplinary letter of concern for improper record keeping and storage protocol, compliance with that?
Correct, yes.
Is there a second?
I'll second the motion.
Second? Okay, for discussion.
Also, I would friendly amendment to include some continuing education for record keeping and ethics, patient abandonment issues.
So how many hours and what kind of a time frame would be completed?
Yeah, so I think 4 hours and in 6 months.
Four for each or four for both?
Four for both.
Okay.
2 hours of record keeping minimum.
Okay. And just a reminder to board members, on occasion you should announce your name when you make motions, because this is a recorded meeting and it'll be reflected upon years later.
So this is Dr. Knopf. I'll accept that as a friendly amendment to add the hours of record keeping and documentation. I believe it was 2 hours of each, totaling 4 hours to be completed within 6 months. And I would say that the fine needs to be paid within that same time frame, just so we're not splitting up different times and having to track that.
And if not accepted, proceed to
formal interview. We would move to formal interview at that time, yes.
And I would second the motion.
Okay.
Just to be clear, if you don't say otherwise, the kind of default when we write these up is that they need to be pre-approved continuing education courses live and in person. So if there's any desire to change that now or in a different case, make sure you let us know.
Okay.
Okay, so we have a first and a second. I'm going to call for the question. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Roll call?
Yes, roll call. Ms. Powell?
Yes.
Dr. Knopf?
Aye.
Dr. Kolash?
Aye.
Dr. Bruno?
Aye. Okay, the motion carries. And we will move on to tab number 2 in the matter of Dr. Barbara Bennett.
Case number 2018-037, Barbara Bennett, B.C. Dr. Bennett and her attorney have signed to speak.
Hi, welcome. Can you please introduce yourselves?
Good morning, Mandy Carvis of Wicker Spence as legal counsel for Dr. Bennett.
Morning, Barbara Bennett.
Hi. Can we get a board briefing, please?
The allegations before the board are that Dr. Bennett provided improper treatment, engaged in unprofessional conduct, and improper billing.
Hi. Ms. Carvis, what do you say to that?
Yes, good morning. Thank you. I know you've all reviewed the materials, so I just will address these points very briefly. As a reminder, this patient alleged that she was experiencing pain in her breast after an adjustment, which she characterized as forceful. The patient did have breast implants that were approximately 17 years old at the time. She didn't say anything at the time of the treatment. She called a couple days later. She and Dr. Bennett played a little bit of phone tag, and when they connected, Dr. Bennett asked her some questions about what she was experiencing, and obviously there was no way for her to evaluate whether or not she had an injury to her implant, so she recommended that if she was concerned about that, that she follow up with her surgeon or get an MRI. She also suggested that the patient utilize ice if she hadn't done that. The patient apparently was offended by Dr. Bennett asking a question about the age of the implant, but there were reasons for her asking that. One, to make sure that if they were newer than she thought that they were, that maybe if it was a newer implant that that could have caused some sort of injury, but also if it were an older implant, that I think Dr. Bennett was thinking that there was more of a possibility of a rupture. We don't believe that that actually occurred. We think that this was just episodic soreness that followed that. Obviously, even a properly performed adjustment can cause some increase in pain. The patient also said that she felt that other adjustments had been forceful, and yet she returned to the office multiple times, so that is inconsistent. She had said that she thought the table was hard or unusual. We provided copies of photographs of the table. It's very standard. We believe that the treatment that was rendered was appropriate. Unfortunately, the patient just had some soreness thereafter. We also believe that the record keeping and billing was appropriate, and we would ask that you dismiss with no basis to proceed.
Thank you. So board members, we're looking at basically three allegations, one for improper treatment, unprofessional conduct, and improper billing. And then questionably, missing continuing education for 2015. Do you have any questions for either the doctor or her counsel?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I have a question.
Okay.
With regard to your billing, can you explain this to me? Patient pays, insurance pays. Where's your software, CargoTouch?
So when I saw this patient, I actually had I have Heritage now, but my software was SmartCloud, which was purchased by Heritage. That went away. It was a cloud-based software, and they phased it out. And so all of these records were basically put into a format that I could print them out through my new software system. The old software system itself is not something that I could access. And so that's why sometimes some of the billing looks a little bit haphazard, because it was put into a different format in order for it to be just basically a record for me to be able to present for a situation like this.
Do you know specifically what she's objecting to in your billing? Like, she has
a
credit.
Yeah. That was the first I heard of that part, actually. I don't think that was on the initial complaint letter that I saw. I didn't see anything about that allegation as well, so we didn't specifically address that in our response. It was more so the issue with respect to the actual...
The way that that can come about is, once we review all the materials, if we see a discrepancy between your record keeping and dates of service and actual billed services, then it ends up on our radar, and so we question that it may not have anything to do with the patient's initial complaint, but if we see a violation, we need to discuss it and take action, or not.
If it helps the discussion, I would note that just the brief indicates that there was notes received without corresponding billing entries.
I'm sorry.
But patient treatment notes without corresponding billing entries. Is that correct?
Right.
Yeah. And if we have specific dates, if you wanted to address those.
So these are basically old. This is your old software.
It is. So the only access I have is what we have here, what they put into my records for me to build access.
Thank you.
Any other questions, board members?
Yes, I've got some. So do you believe the problem is that the reason why the billing dates aren't lining up with the treatment notes is, were the billing dates generated improperly, or were the treatment note dates potentially?
I'm not sure which dates, I guess, you're speaking of, because this hadn't been brought to my attention before, so
okay.
I'm not sure. If you give me a specific date, I can look at it. I do have a list of the billing that was sent over, I believe, to you guys.
The dates I have are May 23rd, 2016, June 1st, 2016, and June 13th, 2016.
So what you're saying is there was a code that was billed out that was not mentioned in the notes?
There were patient notes, but no billing.
Oh, that's interesting.
23rd, 2016.
The only thing I can think of is the patient, since this was a while ago and it was the course of treatment with this patient spanned a number of months, year and a half or so, and she didn't have different insurance, and she went self-pay for a while because she didn't have insurance, and so there were differences in that. So I wonder if maybe the cash, the self-pay billing didn't come through when they sent things over. That'd be my only thought. I'm not sure on that. I can't really tell on this exactly what was sent to the insurance and what was cash paid, but
okay,
for
so
some
you're
reason when they sent things over, maybe the cash pay, when she didn't have insurance, those notes, the billing for that maybe didn't come through. That'd be my thought. Otherwise, I really don't know the answer to that.
Okay, so you did not intend to not bill those dates to an insurance carrier. It just didn't happen.
Yeah, if I have a note, then the patient was seen in my office because they were checked into my system.
Okay.
If there's not a bill associated with it, then it may have been a different form of payment, like a self-pay payment that didn't then get listed with the other register, and it's possible that that didn't get brought over. This is the first time I've had to look back on any of these notes through my old system. And like I said, unfortunately, since it was a cloud-based system, they pulled everything into the new software. It was the same company that owned the two, but there was a difference in platform, and so it's possible, I guess, that maybe some of the self-pay accounts didn't get brought over, but I wasn't aware of that until right now. But if there is a note that I sent over to you, then the patient was seen in my office that day.
Okay, thank you. Any further questions?
I guess this is my other question. We didn't have the complainant sign in to that's it for now. Thank you.
Have we received any the 2015 continuing ed request?
So we subpoenaed 16 and 17. We received 15 and 16. So what we are missing is CE for 2017. So that we have not received.
I'm sorry, you asked for what year?
We asked for 16 and 17. We received 15 and 16. So we're missing 17.
Okay, so that's what you're doing. That was probably my error, so we're happy to submit those because I'm sure Dr. Bennett does have the hours necessary.
Yes, I did.
Okay, so I guess my, the main reason that we're here is for patient safety issues. And, you know, we've got a patient who's alleging that she was injured. Just to be clear, it sounded like you did a prone adjustment to her, maybe some kind of a rib move, and she felt like she was pushing to the table too hard. She felt like it entered her chest or her breast. She didn't complain at the time, or what is your recollection of how that happened? And I know it's been a while. But
it has been a while. I do remember because then when I spoke with her, I think it was 2 days later once we finally connected on the phone, because my office was closed the day that she had called the following day. And she got up, and I remember her just kind of, moving her shoulder like this, but she didn't say, I think I'm hurt, I think you injured me. We continued with the adjustment because then she did go onto her back, and we worked on her cervical spine as well. So
okay.
She didn't stop me at all during the adjustment, and everything finished as normal. And then she called the following day to complain about the pain that she was having.
Okay. And as I read through the materials, it looked like, we had no objective evidence of any injury following your adjustment with her. It looked like it was something that she was thinking about pursuing but really didn't want to pay for. I don't personally have a big concern with that. Any further questions?
I just have one question on the clinical nature.
Sure.
Because I'm not a clinician. Are there any contraindications, either absolute or relative, to performing manipulation on women with breast implants?
So, it's a matter of force. I've, as a chiropractor for 25 years, I've never had anybody complain that a breast implant was ruptured, but I'm sure it could happen, and I haven't seen a complaint on our board in my 6 or 7 years that I've been here. It would just be the same as if you're adjusting somebody, you could push too hard and you could break the rib, it could happen,
This is Dr. Cole Ashby, and just to add to that, I offer female patients a sternal roll, and we chest to see if that's comfortable or less comfortable than just lying without one. And I don't know, did you offer that as an option?
Anytime a patient lays down on the table and they say that they feel that they're uncomfortable, I do have a pillow that I use for maternity care for the belly. I just slide that up and I allow their chest to sit there. And I do that for a number of patients, but it's by request. So I don't offer eggs to everyone.
Okay. Any further questions? Okay, does anybody want to make a motion to proceed or not?
This is Dr. Knopf. I'll make a motion to dismiss the complaint with no basis to proceed.
Is there a second?
Second, Dr. Bolling.
Okay, any further discussion?
Chairman.
Yes.
And I don't know if the board staff has input on this as well, but you may want to make that motion contingent upon the receipt of the 2017 continuing education.
All right. So I'll make the amendment to the motion that upon receipt of and verification of the 2017 continuing ed, thank you. We'll dismiss the complaint with no basis to proceed.
Aye, Judge.
Okay, any further discussion? Let's call for the question. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, hearing none, the motion is dismissed as long as you can approve your 2017 CE.
We will provide that ASAP.
Thank you. Tab number 3 is a matter of Dr. Gene Richer.
Tab number 3 is case number 2018-051. The doctor and his attorney are signed in to speak, as well as the patient. If the patient could please come forward to the podium.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning. Please introduce yourselves for the record.
David Morrison, attorney.
Dr. John Sadarusi.
Thank you. And the patient?
I do have a patient signed in. Is that correct? Patient GS. Please remember to use patient initials only for confidentiality. Thank you.
Okay, can I get a board briefing, please?
The allegations before the board are that the doctor is a danger to the health, safety, and welfare of the public and engaged in unprofessional conduct.
Just a moment.
George, can I have a break?
Can you hit him a chair?
Thank you.
They'll address you when they want you to speak, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Are we going to have an audio issue? We get him up. Hi, can you please introduce yourself for the record? Thank you for coming. We're going to ask you some questions potentially in a moment, but first I want to hear from Mr. Morrison and the doctor. Did we get a board briefing?
Yes.
Okay.
The two allegations, the unprofessional conduct and a danger to the health, safety, and welfare of the public.
Okay, Mr. Morrison, what do you say to the allegations?
We were brief in our response, and I'll be brief in this response. We deny it occurred as indicated. There were two visits. Everything was done professionally. Everything was explained, and everything was noted in the chart.
Okay. Thank you. Board members, do you have any question for the doctor or his attorney at this point?
This is Dr. Kolash. Rochet, is that how you pronounce your name?
Rochet, that's fine.
Okay. In your first visit, you did not adjust the cervical spine, and the second visit, you did.
Correct.
Can you explain any differences there?
Well, from the history and the examination, it was determined that most of the inflammation and the pain-producing tissue was from the lumbar cervical spine. Primary area of concern, which I adjusted in the first visit, and mentioned to Mr. GS, that there was a problem with the neck on the same side. There was quite a bit of contraction and spasm, and we'll address that later. So the second visit, both the lumbar cervical spine and the lower cervical spine were adjusted.
Still, Dr. Kolash, your records indicate some lumbosacral x-rays, but not any cervical. Is there any explanation?
Correct. I mean, there was a lot of inflammation in the lumbar cervical spine. The cervical spine had spasm. I didn't think it was the primary area of concern. However, mechanically, it was not functioning properly. There was spasm. So X-ray were taken solely on the lumbar cervical spine, the lumbar spine.
May I ask?
Yes.
Mr. Chair. This gentleman is 94 years old. Would you not think it prudent to take X-rays of his cervical spine as a 94-year-old man? There could be many, many issues that would preclude you from manipulating perhaps a certain way.
Well, I knew from the history and the exam that there were anticoagulants in this system. So I knew I was going to decrease both amplitude and velocity in the adjustment, and it would be a much milder adjustment than what I do normally. So I didn't see something of sizable concern. You know, that was a possibility, but my judgment was that it was not a primary concern at the time.
Okay, thank you.
Do we have a copy of the X-rays or for viewing or no?
No.
Okay. Dr. Knopf, do you have any questions?
Doctor, what kind of technique do you use? Do you use Gonstead, diversified, do you assess?
It was a Gonstead adjustment.
Both visits in your analysis,
right,
of the patient's condition?
Correct.
Is that why you started to move up to the cervical spine as well following the first one?
Well, when Mr. Gist came in the second visit, the intensity of the pain was down. There was mechanically quite a bit left in the neck. So I thought it would be a good idea to adjust in the cervical spine. I had many, many cases like this in the past that, I mean, if you don't actually correct the cervical spine, that, you know, the patient will maintain quite a bit of symptoms along the spine.
And what is your recollection of the delivery of that adjustment? Do you feel like you,
yeah,
if you could just run through that day for me, please.
My procedure is always the same when it comes to this. I usually come at an angle with the patient, you know, like from the front, 45 degrees, and I explain through a stretch. I actually go by proprioception through a stretch that there's going to be a cavitation, and the cavitation is a normal consequence of the adjustment. There's going to be a noise. So once I have visual or herbal acknowledgement of this, and the patient understands what it is, so they don't get, a fear, but then I proceed to do the adjustment. The adjustment took place, and there was a cavitation, and there was no reaction, and I didn't think there would be any consequence.
That's all the questions I have for the doctor, Mr. Chair.
I have a question. The patient alleges that you kind of surprised him with the adjustment. Did you let him know that, did he think maybe you were doing range of motion checks on him and you did a quick adjustment, or did you tell him you were about to adjust him?
Yeah, so it's not just a verbal explanation. I actually take a contact, and in this context, I was at 45 degrees, in my recollection, and I do a stretch on the sternocleidomastoid. I explained there's going to be a stretch, we're going to go a little further, and there's going to be a cavitation. So, normally, people, would have a bit of a reaction, like they never had an adjustment before, so they understand it. But I never thought that he would, have a reaction to this.
Right.
I never did in the past in 38 years of practice.
I know it's been a while, but so if you could rate, let's say that you had a 20-year-old young patient and the amount of force you would use on them is a 10 on a scale of 0 to 10, how much force do you think you use on a 94-year-old patient?
It's hard to quantify, but I would say it's a 5 out of 10.
So it was lighter.
I was aware of the two things, the age and the medication. So automatically, as a procedure, when I see a case like this, I saw slow down both amplitude and velocity. Now, it takes a minimal velocity to cavitate the joint, otherwise the adjustment doesn't take place. But I'm trying to adjust this the minimal force possible to for the joint to open up and, you know, for the cavitation to take place.
Board members, did anybody see a signed informed consent indicating that patients can feel worse after treatment or be injured? And or Mr. Morrison?
We have a document. I'm hoping it's with the material we sent you, but if not, Dr. Richey does have one in his file.
I think I'm looking at it right now on page 13 of 16.
Yes, I have it as well, so I'm hoping you have it.
Okay, it says disclosure and consent, chiropractic adjustment at the top.
Yes.
Okay, let me refresh my memory quickly on this one. Okay, and so you acknowledge in here that there are risks to exams and treatments that can include but are not limited to fractures, disc injuries, strokes, etc. Okay, I'm gonna ask my board members if they have any patients, or to our patient, do you have anything you would like to say at this point?
Yes, sir, I would. A year ago, as a 94-year-old man, I went to Dr. Richter with a bad hip. I was painful to walk. And while they had taken x-rays and I was sitting on the table, he came up behind me very quietly, grabbed my head, and jerked it. The pain has increased over the year, and I can't lift my head up to shave anymore. I have to have an electric razor. I have a report from a board-certified urologist that there are possible damages that could have been from what he did. And one of the things I'm concerned about is that under chiropractic adjustment and care, it says the patient has a right to be informed about their condition and the recommended chiropractic adjustments and other procedures to be used. He never said one word to me about anything.
What is the date of the neurology letter that you have in front of you?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, when was that created? I don't think we have a copy of that.
The only purpose is I think he showed poor judgment in doing what he did to a 94-year-old man.
Okay, so for the record, I'm looking at a letter from Daniela Caltaru, who's a medical doctor, board certified in neurology. The letter is dated March 29th of 2018. Looks like there is an evaluation performed, included cranial nerves. And the assessment says chronic neck pain, right upper extremity pain, and tingling sensation since he underwent chiropractic manipulation in April of 2017, so a year earlier. Patient denied neck pain before the procedure. So we'll make copies of this, and we'll give you your copy back. So a lot can happen in 1 year. You know, Your testimony is that you were injured from the adjustment and you didn't get this evaluation until a year later. I'm wondering, did you go anywhere else and were any objective evidence, did you have any x-rays or any MRIs or anything shortly after you felt like you were injured by this doctor?
No.
Okay.
No, sir.
Thank you.
I only desire is to see that he gets condemnation for poor judgment and not informing the patient. I don't want any funds or anything.
Okay. Thank you. And so are you currently pursuing a malpractice judgment against him?
No,
okay.
Sir.
So your concern is that you felt like he didn't warn you before he adjusted you and give you the chance to either accept or reject the treatment?
Exactly. Yes, sir.
Thank you. Okay, board members, do you have any questions for our patient?
Mr. Chair, I do. For you, sir, do you know what the word cavitate means at all? If you were to say that this might cavitate, do you know what cavitation is?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure that there wasn't a miscommunication or misunderstanding in some of the direction that was potentially provided by the doctor. You don't remember him going over and saying that there might be a cavitation standing in front of you? That's not your recollection of the events. Okay.
Mr.
Board, I don't use that word, you know, to a patient because, you know, obviously a lot of them would not know it. So I use usually lay term. So when I perform a stretch on the muscle, I tell them there's going to be a noise. Can pass the point. That's it. So I don't use that word.
Gotcha. Thank you for the clarification.
Mr. Morrison, anything to add?
Just the final message is obviously we disagree on what occurred in the office visit. We feel we explained what was going to happen, went through a stretch which would also indicate something was going to happen. Dr. Roche says he explained the noise part, and it's just a disagreement as to what happened.
Okay. Board members, do you want to take any action or make a motion?
I'll make a motion. I think it's important for comment after. But this is Dr. Knopf. I'll make the motion to dismiss with no basis to proceed.
Is there a second?
I'll second the motion.
Okay. And discussion?
Just for the patient, it's really hard in these cases to understand any direct correlation between what happened that day and any potential injury, especially a year after a year has gone by. And so without clear evidence, it's hard for us to make other decisions based off of a case like this. At least that's the reason for my motion. To your point, we don't know what was said in the office that day. You have a different story than the doctor does. But to your point in your letter and in your complaint, I do believe that the doctor here now understands the importance of patient communication in going through this process, I hope, at this point, being here today. So I think we got what you were looking for, and that he understands the seriousness of making sure patients understand what's happening going forward. And that's the reason for my motion.
Okay, I'm going to call for the question. Those in favor of dismissing this? Taking no action, please signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed?
Nay. Cold action.
Okay. So the ayes have it, and this motion will be dismissed, and we will take no action further. So this concludes this matter. Thank you so much for your testimony today. Okay, tab number 4 is the matter of Dr. Warren Weisbrot.
You're very welcome.
Tab number 4 is case number 2018-052, Warren Weisbrot. The doctor and his attorney are signed in to speak, as well as the patient, W.S. If you please come forward.
Hi. You can take the podium if that's okay. Go ahead and introduce yourself, just initials for the record.
My name is W.S.
Thank you. And Mr. Morrison, please introduce yourself.
David Morrison, attorney.
And?
Dr. Warren Weisberg.
Hi, thank you. Well, what do you say to the allegations, Mr. Morrison, first?
From the records that we've submitted, which are pretty thorough, it's documented what occurred. I think the importance is the sequence of events and what occurred even after the alleged incident. We deny that it occurred the way that the WS is indicating. We believe Dr. Rushbrook acted professionally on all manners of treatment and explanation. And if you look at the records and the timing of everything, we think that the records speak for themselves. It's just a difference as to the fact situation. Dr. Weisberg does use a drop table, does use an activator, but I asked him before coming in today if he's ever even used the drop table 6 times in one visit, and the answer is no. So we disagree as to what occurred or how it was described as occurring. And I believe that everything was done professionally and certainly to standard.
Okay, and we're going to have some questions for you, but first I want to hear from our patient. We're going to take turns talking back and forth. This is all recorded,
sorry, we can't talk over
each other.
One other thing is I saw in the board brief there was some question about the billing records, and I believe they were submitted. So if you guys don't have them, they were in the packet that I submitted, so I don't. If you don't have them, I brought extra copies if you want to take a look at.
Okay. So. To our patient, thank you for coming today and testifying. We've read all the board meeting materials. Do you want to add any clarity to what we have in front of us or tell us your account of why you're here today and what happened?
Sure. First, I wanted to thank you guys for giving me an outlet to speak today. It's everything that's happened to me has been very isolating. There aren't very many people who have been given another person's chiropractic adjustment. And so I feel that there have been very few people who could understand what I've been going through over the past year and 9 months. Furthermore, when I contacted lawyers to see what kind of justice I could get, they all turned my case down. They said it's too expensive to sue chiropractors. Malpractice cases are very, very expensive. And as one law office put it, they said you either need to be dead or in a wheelchair in order for us to pursue legal action. So for those of us who are left with injuries and feel it every day of our lives, but we're not dead or in a wheelchair, we're kind of stuck in a no man's land. And so being here today has been my only opportunity to seek justice. You guys did read the report that I filed back a year and, you know, a little over a year and a half ago. It was pretty lengthy. I was told to be as detailed as possible, and I think that worked to my benefit because a lot of time has passed now. I can retell it, or I don't know, but I'll specifically say the first 2 appointments I went to were for a kettlebell that I'd been swinging with this, right? And I showed him that, and I went to my doctor, and she said, you know, it's just a back strain. You'll get better on your own. Here's some Advil. Here's some muscle relaxers if you need them. My daughter sees a PT. I asked her. She said, no, it's just a muscle strain. It'll get better on its own. But we were going away on vacation in 3 weeks, and I was very nervous. You know, I was nervous to fly 6 hours overseas with my daughter because she's on a ventilator and blah, blah, blah. So I thought, oh, gosh, what am I going to do? So they both recommended a chiropractor, and I've been afraid of chiropractors because I had a bad adjustment on my neck in the past. I thought, well, I trust both of them. I'll go. And when I went, the first 2 visits were great. I mean, I had a good assessment. I went in, and I went in up on this drop table. It's like at a 45-degree angle, and I was holding it like this, and he used this metal ball between my shoulders with menthol on it, and then he had me lay on this flat thing, and he rotated my knees back and forth maybe 5-6 times. And then he took me to this other open room and did this weird technique he learned in Prague, which was, you know, whether or not it worked, I don't know. I didn't feel anything. But I did feel much better after that first appointment. He recommended I come back the next day. And I said, you know, do you want to wait and see how I'm doing? No, no, that'd be silly. You want to be, you don't want to be too tight. You know, that's like saying you don't want to be too loose for your plane ride. So I came back the second time, the very next day, did the exact same thing. And then I went to Hawaii. I felt great, no problems. Swimming in the pool felt wonderful. I could feel everything coming out. And no, you know, I didn't need any Advil. And then when I returned from Hawaii, because they had booked me for an appointment before I left, when I returned from Hawaii, his mom recognized me. She said, how was your trip to Hawaii? And I said, great. She said, oh, have a seat. So I sat outside his closed door, and he was running 30 minutes late, and I thought, oh, maybe I should leave. I mean, I don't really have any pain anymore. I thought, well, I made the appointment. I'll just sit and wait. So then I waited, and he opens the door, and this woman who was with walks out, and he goes, oh, I'm so sorry. Come in. And I come in, and I'm starting to talk, and he cuts me off. Get up on the drop kick. So I get up thinking he's going to do the ball thing. Right? And so I say, well, I'm about 98% better. And he interrupts me and he says, cross your right ankle behind your left. So I do. And I'm like, this is new. And then I feel this thing come up on my right hip and drop down. So I immediately say, wait, what are you doing? You don't normally do this. And he doesn't respond. And he brings the thing up on my right hip and then drops it down again. So I say again, wait, what are you doing? You don't normally do this. And he says, yes, I do. And then he does it again. So now I'm like, something's weird because he doesn't normally do this. And something's wrong, and I'm confused. So I get up off the table, and I face him to be like, whoa. And I literally was like, and he just looks at me and goes, what are you doing? Get back on the table. And I'm like, okay. I mean, the doctor's telling me to get back on the table. I don't know what's going on. So I get back on the table. And he does it three more times. He may have done it four. He might have actually done it seven times. I only put six because I was certain it was six. But anyway, so I remember on that last one, I thought, oh, something's going to go wrong. I just know it. But whatever. So then he says, get off the table. He's like, annoying. I don't know the routine. Get off the table. So I get off, and I'm facing him like, and he goes, and now I go like this to you. And I go, okay, you know. And then he stopped. So then he stops, and he's like, wait, what? And I was like, oh, no, did you just give me a green light? And that's when I realized, uh-oh, he thinks I'm somebody else. So I said, did you just give me a creepy adjustment? And he's like, trying to buy time. What? Wait, what? And he's walking to the back of the room, and he's all stressed. You can tell he's freaking out now. And I'm like, remember, I told you I had a bad adjustment in the past, and this is what happened. You know, I had to call that previous guy. And he says, oh, yes, okay. Lay down on this table. So he has me lay flat, just like the previous two appointments, and he starts rotating my hips. He never did the ball thing, right? Starts rotating my hips, and he says, I know, you're Trina's friend. And I didn't say anything. You know, I thought, well, yeah, now you figured it out. But, and then he was very, very, very nice to me for the rest of the appointment. So I booked another appointment thinking, you know, hopefully I'll be okay. You know, usually chiropractic adjustments come out, right? So I booked another appointment, and then 5 days later, you know, I felt worse immediately. Like the very next day, I had to take Advil again. So I'm like, oh, I can't, you know, and I was having trouble sitting, but I didn't put it together. I just thought, oh, I'm having more back pain. So 5 days later, I get up off the couch and laying like this for all 3 minutes reading the newspaper. My kids call for me. I get up off the couch and I feel searing pain in right below my butt for about 5-10 seconds, searing pain. And then it moves to my hip flexors. And I'm like, oh! And my husband's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, I don't know! And he's like, oh my God. And I'm walking around. I'm like, oh my God. I didn't know. I thought I had to go to the hospital. And we were, you know, we don't know what to do. And he's like, just go to Target, walk it off. And we're scared. And I'm like, I'm never going to a chiropractor again, that's it. And I've gotten better now. It's been a year and 9 months. But after that, things went downhill for a very long period of time, both physically and emotionally. I went to see physical therapists. Physical therapists do not know what chiropractors do. Because I was telling them, and they're like, oh no, a chiropractor couldn't do that. I finally had to go back to another chiropractor who was like, yeah, he separated your SI joint. I can't imagine why any chiropractor would do that. So, I don't know. It's been a long, tough road. I did look at the medical records he submitted, and I believe that he's actually written some stuff in on my chart. I can show it to you if you'd like. Furthermore, because he reports that I was talking about butt pain the whole time. that I was seeing him, which I wasn't. I was there for a muscle strain for my back. And then the other thing that I brought was all of the appointments I've had to go to since his erroneous appointment on July 10th through 17th. There's about 55 appointments that I've been to related to the injury that he gave me. So, I don't know. But everything highlighted in yellow is not related to it, and everything that's not highlighted is related to the pain. I made two copies. And then this, if you look at the A's on the butt, the handwriting is different from mine.
Thank you. We'll have some questions for you in a moment.
Okay.
And okay. So board members, back to Doctor and his attorney. Do you have any questions for them?
This is Dr. Kolasch for Dr. Weisbrot. Your records, at least, and board members, correct me if I missed it, just an activator adjustment. Do you recollect any drop table?
No, I did the MOB. The MOB, like a drop MOB and a side MOB. Mobilization.
Okay. The records indicate activator adjustment.
Yes.
Okay. But that's the only one, I think. Mobilization. Your mobilization refers to the...
A non-thrusting, or a non-cavitating technique.
Okay. So both of those are listed, mobilization and activator. So I thought you were talking about mobilization with an activator. It's just the way the records read to me.
Did you confuse her for another patient? Do you remember feeling like you did something that was appropriate for another patient and then realized who she was? And
I recognized her.
So, normally drop tables are a much less forceful type of adjustment than a regular adjustment. Did you do any sideline adjusting on her on the previous adjustments? Had she received a normal chiropractic adjustment with the cavitation or any of that prior to this? So
the sideline is I went to check Modal Hospital in Prague, and they teach side mobilizations where it's a non-cavitating technique.
Okay.
You fixate the rib cage and you mobilize the pelvis through the comfortable range of motion.
Okay, and can you understand how scared she might have been when she heard the drop table popping up and down if she had never experienced that before? Even if it's a lighter force technique.
Yeah, yes, I can understand.
And so, do you recall her getting up and trying to stop you and explain, and you telling her to get back down on the table?
No, never.
Okay, Mr. Morrison, you have something?
I was just going to say, I just asked him on a sidebar whether or not he explained what the drop table was and what it did before he did it. And I was going to ask him to tell you that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was trying to correct the lateral flexion problem that you see in the original exam of right lateral flexion, right leg over the left leg, and trying to open up the right instead of the L5-S1.
Oh, so you had her on a sideline position while you were using the drop table?
No.
Oh, prone. Okay.
Lumbosacral.
Okay. Any further questions for the doctor?
Excuse me, doctor. Did you explain the drop table to her?
Yes.
Before you executed the adjustment.
Before we did the adjustment.
And the other thing I would ask is, if a patient says stop or don't do that, what happens?
I stop.
So. Now he will.
Okay, one at a time.
Dr. Kolasch speaking. Dr. Weisbrot, did you do the drop table adjustment on the first two visits?
No.
Does anybody see a signed informed consent?
Why did you do it on the first visit? This is Angela.
Just the other components of just trying to get range of motion in. I just did the activator and the MOB, but I wanted to get more lateral flexion on the third one, so to get better range of motion and right lateral flexion.
Even though she was 98% better when she came in?
Still necessary.
A couple other things I'd like to point out with. This is the appropriate time.
Yes.
And I apologize to WS. I'm not trying to anything against her, but when she said that, you know, following that July 10th visit, she was in, you know, pain and would never ever go back to a chiropractor, she did come back on September 6th, I'd like to point that out. And at that time, she indicated her pain levels at a 3 out of 10. And at that point, Dr. Rushford did some evaluation testing again, because there had been almost a 2-month gap in between visits. And then there was a phone message saying that she was, you know, the next day, that instead of doing chiropractic, she was going to go to physical therapy, but no mention of any problems or any issues. And there appears to have been an appointment made in November, because there's another phone message that says on November 20th there was a canceled appointment. And then this particular complaint didn't come out until February of 2018. And the other part that I want to point out is, and again, this is not a trial or a hearing or anything like that, but if you look at the welcome, the initial intake, where WS said she didn't have any low back pain, it's in her handwriting saying she did.
Okay, board members, any other questions before we go to our patient?
To your question, I don't see the informed consent.
I didn't see it either. Do you have an informed consent?
Oops, sorry. I just dropped the microphone.
Okay.
I guess that means I'm supposed to do it. It's, I don't know what it is on your page. The top says 4 up here. And at the bottom is a series, it looks like bullet points, 4 bullet points. And that appears to be the informed consent area. I mean, it's not perhaps as extensive as an attorney like myself would like, but it is an informed consent.
I'm looking at a payment policy more than an informed consent.
Authorized staff to perform any necessary services needed during diagnosis and treatment. Authorized the provider. Well, that's just for releasing information. But that's, like I said, it's perhaps not as strong as I would like it legally. But in terms of an informed consent, it's on the form, and that's what would serve as an informed consent, I guess, in this packet of materials.
Okay.
I certainly could suggest something else be used in the future.
Okay, back to our patient. I'm trying to understand. So I am sorry that you had a bad outcome with your neck adjustment with the previous chiropractor. And then I can only imagine, you know, I've been a chiropractor for 25 years, and I have a drop table in my office that I use when patients request it, or when I think it might be appropriate, I'll explain it to them. But over the years, I've had several patients tell me that they don't like the drop table because they think it's less forceful and they don't get anything done, or that they don't like the noise, you know, and I've had patients over the years that don't like to get their necks adjusted because they don't want to hear the noise, and some people just don't want to hear the noise at all. And so I'm trying to understand if you feel like you had kind of a visceral emotional thing over this drop table popping up and down that reminded you of your neck adjustment from the previous chiropractor, or if in fact you feel like your sacroiliac joint was injured. And I can tell you as a chiropractor, I don't know that it's possible for somebody to adjust your sacroiliac joint and overstretch it to that point like that other chiropractor told you, and so I'm wondering who that person was and what their background was.
Yeah, his name is Dr. Vince, and I actually went to get my medical records from him, but sadly they were very undescriptive. So, and then when I called them to get my medical records, he actually left. He wasn't even working there anymore, so okay. I was kind of at a dead end there.
I'm not saying that you can't be injured from what he did.
Right.
I'm just trying to understand your part of, you know, what happened.
Well, yeah, and then so I wasn't really able to get more clarification, you know, on what his assessment, what this Dr. Vince is. His name's Dr. Vince Chavira, but he, you know, I wasn't able to get any more input from him because he's no longer at that office. However, I did go get a massage about a month ago at this back, fit, and spine, and they have you consult with a chiropractor afterwards, and I told him what had happened, and he said that he thinks that my right hip is just hyper mobile now, and so that's why whenever I sit, I have pain. It's because the hip just doesn't stay in place, so I get pain going up the right side of my back. And he recommended I get some belt to wear around my SI joints to kind of keep me together. The pain has improved substantially because I exercise so much, but I still can't sit on hard surfaces anymore.
Can I ask you what you did in Hawaii? Did you guys do any excursions, anything that might have had a little delayed onset? You know, you can, when we see patients and they get into, let's say, an auto accident, it can take 3 to 5 days before they have any kind of serious reaction to, before they feel all of the pain they're going to feel. Is it possible that you did something in Hawaii that took a little while to develop?
It's unlikely because I was with my children who were 3 years old and 6 years old, and they were too afraid to even go snorkeling. So no, we mostly sat at the pool and
okay.
sat on the beach.
Okay, and you've never had pre-existing problems like this before in your sacroiliac joint on the backside?
No.
Okay. Okay, well, board members, I guess my question is, do you feel like this rises to a level of going to a formal interview where we continue the investigation, or does somebody want to make a motion to dismiss at this point or take other action?
I think I would just like to point out that following the July 10th visit, there was MRI performed August 28th, and one of those findings was that there is a sacralized L5 body. So my question, do you do imaging in your initial assessment, or do you start with conservative care first?
Conservative care first.
So there was no imaging done previously?
Localized low back pain, mechanical low back pain.
And there was improvement in the second visit.
Right. Did you receive this imaging report from,
yeah.
and did you review it and note then the sacralization of that one segment at that point? And that would have been on 9/6 that you received that when she brought in the MRI report. Did that have any?
I didn't do anything after that. Yeah, okay. Treat her on 9/6. That was a consult.
Just a consult at that point.
Yeah.
Okay. No treatment. Did you talk about the MRI at all?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's all the questions I have.
Okay. So we're back to.
I'm sorry, this is Dr. Kolash. You described a drop table. When I use a drop table, it's prone. The patient is describing a 45 degree angle with the drop. And
no, at a 45 degree angle.
So, question to WS, can you describe the position you were in when he did the adjustments?
Sure. So first, when I would go in for the first, well, for all three appointments, he first had me go against this drop table. It means like this, so you're like this. And then he had me cross my right ankle behind my left while I'm leaning, so like this.
Okay, so when he did the drop table, you think you recall being at 45 degrees? Or
well,
did he lower the table into a fully vertical, I mean horizontal position?
No, it's like, so this would be... vertical, so it would be like this. So you're like standing.
Okay.
So not quite this far, but maybe like this. So you're upright.
And Dr. Weisberg, is that your recollection? Well, how would you describe
it?
How you do
it?
With
base.
What does base mean?
Horizontal.
Parallel?
Horizontal.
Floor? No, it absolutely was not like that.
So, you know, one option would be, you know, we've got a whole bunch of physical therapy billing with no specifics on the treatment. I don't know if we requested those records, if that would shed any light on this, because still we wouldn't have any objective findings that there was damage immediately after the adjustment, other than a subjective complaint, which I value. So, again, I'm going to ask if anybody wants to make a motion to continue the investigation.
I have one question before you do.
Yes.
Of WS.
Okay.
Is that okay if you ask your question? what you're saying is after the July visit is when you felt the pain?
The third visit.
Right, okay, so that's, okay, so that, was that, he didn't treat you in September?
No, I went back for an opinion because my PT couldn't figure out what was wrong.
Okay. So, in fact, I guess you got the point.
Okay. So, during initial action, we can forward the investigation or we can take no action. What's your pleasure? And the question would be, if we continued it, what other information would we gain, or do you feel like this rises to disciplinary action where we would take disciplinary action at that time? Or do you feel like this is two different accounts of a story that we can't objectively get to the bottom of?
But from a, yeah, as a practicing chiropractor, and who also uses lies as a drop table, I don't know that it actually works at a 45 degree angle. So I'm having trouble rectifying those two opinions or statements about the care, and I don't know how to objectively rectify that.
So are you making a motion to dismiss or take no action?
I will make a motion to dismiss with no action.
Okay, so there's a motion to take no action. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, any further discussion?
I just think for further discussion, the one objective finding that we do have following that care is the MRI, and I don't see much indication of injury that could be directly related to that treatment, and that's the objective piece that we look for, is to say, this adjustment caused this potential outcome, and it's really hard to see that. Even with the follow-up care, I don't think there was additional imaging or objective findings that would help us understand, because this is the first exam that was done following that care. It was the most recent one that we would go off of still at this point. So I just want to make that comment.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to call for the question. Those in favor of taking no action, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Okay, hearing none, this matter is dismissed. Thank you so much for your testimony today.
Thank you for your time.
Okay, the next tab number is tab number 5, the matter of Dr. Matthew Bradley. Hi.
How are you?
Can you introduce yourself, please, for the record?
I'm Dr. Matthew Bradley.
Okay. Can we get a board briefing, please?
Case number 2018-053, Matthew Bradley, VC. The doctor signed in to speak. The allegations before the board are that Dr. Bradley may use or abuse drugs and alcohol, may be non-compliant with the board's subpoena, may have pending criminal prosecution, may be a danger to the health, safety, and welfare of the public, and may have engaged in unprofessional conduct.
Do we have anybody signed to speak in? Or anybody signed in to speak?
And no one additional.
Okay. Okay. So, Dr. Bradley, you've got some serious allegations. Do you have anything to say before we decide if we want to forward this to a formal interview? And
yeah, this all came about because I do have some pending legal stuff going on that nothing has taken place. My attorney's currently in the process of having those charges dropped. And after leaving Figure Chiropractic in September, he continually texted and made phone calls to the point where I had to block him.
Okay, hold on. We have two cases, right now, specifically, we're talking about the first one, unless Mr. Rain, do you think we can handle both of these at the same time?
You could, yeah. I would ask that the board vote to consolidate them for consideration in future matters.
Okay. Well, I guess my question then for the second case, do we have anybody signed in to speak on that one or present for that? Okay, so board members, what's your pleasure? Does anybody want to make a motion to consolidate cases number 5 and 6?
I'll make a motion to consolidate 5 and 6.
Okay, is there a second? Okay, does anybody wish to recuse themselves?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'll be recusing myself from hearing tabs 4 and 5. Five and six, yes.
Okay, I'm going to second the motion, and we're going to vote on it. Those in favor of consolidating tabs 5 and 6 into one case, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, so we have 3 ayes and 1 recused. The ayes have it, and we'll handle both of them together. Okay, thank you for that. Why don't you go ahead and give me a briefing for the next tab as well, so we're all talking about the same thing.
The allegations in case number 2019-022.
Okay.
The allegations before the board are that the doctor may be in danger of the health, safety, and welfare of the public, may have engaged in a breach of doctor-patient confidentiality, may use or abuse drugs or alcohol, may be non-compliant with the board subpoena, and may have engaged in unprofessional conduct.
Okay. So, Dr. Bradley, what do you say to the allegations now?
Do you want me to start from this?
We'll talk about them all in general or as specific as you want to. We understand that you were employed by Dr. Leslie Figa in July, between July and October of 2018.
It was September.
Okay.
I left like mid-September.
Okay. And so, do you use drugs?
No, absolutely not. And I'm actually going through a custody battle for my son, where my attorney advised me to voluntarily do a drug test, which I could supply all those for you, all were negative, never used drugs, don't have any use medical marijuana. I do drink alcohol occasionally, okay. But.
So what do you say to the arrest?
The arrest that did happen, my attorney's in the process of actually having those dropped. I have a current plea agreement for probation, if you'd like to see that. It's here, but we're still in the process of working out the details because it was self-defense. That was the cost of my 6 individuals where I branded a weapon, and that's basically all I can really say about that at this point because we're in the process of having those dropped.
Okay, are you currently practicing?
I am. I wasn't for about 9 months because I hurt my back between, November 27th till July of 2018. So about 8 or 9 months I wasn't practicing because I injured my back. But then I did start practicing with Dr. Figa July 2018 to September 2018.
So can you sum up in under a minute what happened with Dr. Figa and why you left?
After I left Dr. Figa's office because it was just not a healthy workplace. Everybody that worked for him previously, he was harassing via social media, emails, text messages, including Corey Baker, who I asked to come speak with me today. But our correspondence basically said, he's not willing to talk about Dr. Figa because the last 6 months, quote unquote, have been hell for him because he's been just harassed since he left Vegas office. I asked him to come speak, but he said he wouldn't speak without an attorney. After leaving Figa's office for another opportunity, for 2-3 months, he texted me, emailed me, made phone calls to the point where I asked him multiple times, please stop contacting me. I threatened to get a restraining order, at which time, December 10th, he emailed me, which you probably received the emails that I sent back. The initial one was him threatening to come to my house, calling me a lot of things.
We've got all the materials, yeah. You know, so you don't have to rehash all of that.
And finally, at that point, this was the first time I actually responded back, other than leave me alone, because it went on for almost 3 months. Him accusing me of contacting his wife, his employees, patients, trying to take patients. At this point, I was 45 miles away from the previous practice. I had no interest in him or his patients or anyone else. And at which time I lashed back and I said, leave me alone, I'll get a restraining order. And I shouldn't have responded because it obviously just fueled the fire, because at that point is when he filed a board complaint against me later that night.
Okay, so we have a report that you crashed your car into somebody's property, and this was back in March of 2018.
Yes.
And you know, you were charged with 6 counts of aggravated assault, 5 counts of disorderly conduct, and you're telling me that you're in the process of getting all that.
Yes, and I have a current plea agreement for probation on those charges.
Did we have a copy of that yet? Did we submit that to the board?
No, I didn't submit that to the board yet.
Okay.
I had not. I just received this from my attorney the other day, if you'd like a copy of it.
We will. And so I'm gonna tell my board members that So in a matter that's this serious with this many allegations, you know, we customarily will end up going to a formal interview to get more information and give him the opportunity to testify under oath with or without an attorney. We've got criminal charges pending. So we don't need to have a formal interview right now. But if there's anything that anybody wants to ask him before we make any kind of motion in that direction, now is the time. So, does anybody have any questions? And if not, does anybody want to make a motion to forward this to formal interview? And Mr. Bohal?
Mr. Chairman, just before we move that direction, does the board have any concern regarding the conduct of Dr. Figa in response to Mr. Bradley's allegations through the provided text messages both from Dr. Bradley and Dr. Figa?
And what kind of action? You know, I'm gonna have somebody make a motion that we can go into executive session and consider our options and review confidential material and get legal counsel.
I'll make the motion to move into executive session.
Second. Okay, those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Let the record reflect we're back in regular session and out of executive session. Thank you for your patience while we were finding out what some of the legal options were. So your case is very serious. You know, we're charged with protecting the public. You know, you've got a lot going on. We want to know how willing you are to... Well, first of all, we want to know the structure of your practice. You know, I'm thinking, as far as protecting the public, we have options. You can voluntarily suspend your license and treat nobody until you get all these things worked out. We can take away your license, which is disciplinary action. But before we decide, you know, what we're going to do with that, tell us, do you have anybody else in your office? Are you a solo practitioner? How many patients are you seeing a week?
I have 3 doctors in the office with a clinic director. Last month I treated 1,115 patients myself. Our clinic, we treated around 2,100. It's an open adjusting base. It's 3 tables, 1, 2, 3, open area with a wellness coordinator at the front. There's no privacy. There's no, there's one large room. There's always at least 2 doctors in the office with the wellness coordinator there as well.
Is it multidisciplinary or are they all chiropractors?
All chiropractors. Just straight chiropractic adjustments.
So you're seeing 250 people a week roughly?
250 to 300 a week myself.
And do you want to continue practicing?
I would love to continue practicing. That's what I became a chiropractor for, to help people. And I know it sounds really bad what he's saying, but you know, I did mess up. I did get arrested, but what he's saying is not true.
Okay, so board members, do you have any questions for him, or do you, does anybody want to make a motion for a consent agreement, or?
I have a question first. Your renewal application, you said answered no to the question of being arrested. Do you have an explanation for that?
That's because it was already coming from the board. I didn't think that I needed to put that down again for a second time. So it was already coming in from the board. You guys were already aware of that.
Okay, so in the future, that question has to be answered truthfully every time. Every time you renew your license, if you're given that opportunity.
All right, I apologize. I thought that meant, like, if you guys did not know about...
Like additional information.
Yeah, additional information. Okay. As you guys already knew, so I didn't put it down again, because I thought it would be repetitious.
Mr. Chair?
Yes?
I'd like to ask you a question.
Okay.
What do you perceive as your problem? I mean, all these arrests, the domestic violence, everything. What's the problem, in your opinion?
The arrest as of the March.
All of it. It's a litany of things. Problems. Issues.
Are you talking about from 2012?
With
my ex-wife?
All of it.
I mean, I've had some unfortunate events. I mean, what happened with my ex-wife, I take full responsibility for what I did in those actions. The most current arrest, I honestly was defending myself, and I would do the same thing again tomorrow if the same situation arose. As far as Dr. Figa and the current information, he knew about that, and as he stated in the emails, he was going to make sure I never practice again. That's his goal. Everybody has issues. You know, I went through a hard time through my divorce. That was that situation. The current arrest, honestly, I was at the wrong place at the wrong time. I went to Timberland City to see a friend that broken her hip, made a wrong turn, and that's when the six individuals came out and said that if I didn't give them my money, that and I was attacked at that point. I brandished a weapon. That situation, I will say, is wrong place, wrong time. And
do you attend AA meetings?
I did during my divorce. I did during that time. The arrest in March, there was no alcohol involved.
And you said you do drink, though?
I do drink occasionally. I did attend AA during my divorce because I was trying to work it out with my wife, and she said all her problems were based around my drinking, and I didn't drink for a year period, and nothing changed. I was making the attempt to make my marriage work.
And so you would be willing to work with us insofar as drug testing?
Oh, absolutely. I don't do drugs, and I would have no problem
and
taking
alcohol.
Drug tests. I'll
same thing.
Anything, yeah.
You provided us with a proposal to reduce your charges in this. Do you have a time frame that needs to be, the plea agreement?
The plea agreement? I could accept that next month, and I'm thinking about doing it, just get all this behind me, because it's probation, and this has been going on for about a year and a couple months now. And I just want it all to be over with, to be honest with you.
So do you have a time frame that it needs to be completed by? Did the plea agreement stipulate a time frame while it's on the table?
I would have to check the records on that. My attorney, I think he said May 9th, possibly next month or the 9th, I believe it is. I mean, I could look it up in my email right now on the phone.
So the allegations about you texting your genitals to coworkers and past coworkers and all of that, what do you say to that?
That's ridiculous. He says that I'm using burner phones to do this. I didn't even know what a burner phone was until they said typically used for drug dealers to not be traced. I've never bought a burner phone. I don't even know where you would buy a burner phone. I would say call the numbers if there are any. He also said that they contacted the police because whatever, and there's no information for them to even be able to do anything. I was never contacted by the police. I honestly think it's because his previous employer moved down the road and was trying to take patients, and we didn't have a non-compete. And I honestly believe he was trying to intimidate me to not contact anyone in his office, which I wasn't. I don't have any other numbers, including his wife.
So, I mean, you only worked for him for a couple of months.
Three months.
Like, it's mind-boggling to me that this has turned into what it has over a short relationship of employment like that, unless there's something more we don't know about.
Honestly, I couldn't tell you. After I left there, within a few days, it started with regular text messages. I don't have the text messages anymore because I didn't think it was going to turn into anything. I just thought it was him harassing me like he did Dr. Corey Baker. I don't have the text messages, but all I do is have the emails because I ended up blocking him from being able to call or text me, and then he went to emailing at that point, threatening to come to my house and beat me up or whatever he was going to do. I don't know why it turned into this so quickly or why it lasted so long.
Have you ever been to anger management counseling?
I did for the 2012 thing.
Right. So, you know, leaving the negative Yelp reviews in the way that you did and how damaging that could be to somebody's business.
I didn't leave any Yelp reviews. I personally left no reviews.
Okay. All right, so we're at a point where we need to deliberate and decide what we're going to do, unless you have anything further you'd like to say.
Not at this point.
Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Yes?
Just one more quick question. Who is Mrs. Ashley Peck?
That was a previous patient. She left Baker Chiropractic a couple weeks into me being there. Basically, what she told me is that she didn't like how Figo was treating her and felt like he didn't care and it's all about the money. I was there for about a week when she came back in and said that her neck was hurt by the previous doctor there. He asked me to treat her, which I later found out was being done at no charge. About halfway through the treatment, he then hit her with a bill and she said she's leaving and she's never coming back. And if I were to ever go to another practice to let her know, because she would like me to treat her there. That was the last time I had any contact with her when I was outside of his office as I was leaving for lunch.
So you never contacted her?
No, I never contacted her to be a patient, no.
Dr. Kolesch.
Do we have your current practice information on file?
Yes.
You've submitted everything that's current?
Yeah, it's the correspondence I've been getting has been going to that current practice.
And you're aware of the requirements to update that information if it were to change?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I don't plan on going anywhere. In the short time that I've been at this practice, in 3 months, they made me the lead doctor and are currently actually talking about making me a clinic director.
Can you explain the shoplifting charge in July of 18?
Yeah, that was dismissed. That was... it was a missight as I was leaving the store.
What did you take?
It was a set of headphones from the car.
And you didn't pay for it?
No. That's all been handled. The charges were dropped and everything on that because of the situation.
What was the situation?
Oh, because I wasn't back trying to shoplift.
You just inadvertently forgot to pay for
yes.
it as you're walking out with
yeah.
them?
Yes, in the car, yeah.
Were there other items?
Yes, there were other items.
So it was a self-checkout kind of thing?
Yeah.
Or?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so our option options include disciplinary action of summarily suspending your license. We can forward this to a formal interview, or we can take more action and wait for your other charges to be dealt with, whether you accept your plea or not, and see the results of that. We can offer you a consent agreement, which will allow you to continue to practice unless you demonstrate that you're not safe or we get new information. Another option would be to for you to accept a suspension of your license while we forward this to a formal interview and wait for your other court cases and so on to be resolved, and then decide what kind of action we're going to take at that point. So we're going to deliberate about that right now. Does anybody want to make a motion or have any sense of what they want to do with that?
So there are a lot of possibilities here, and so I would ask for assistance from staff if I don't get it all in the right order. But I would like to, I will move to enter into a consent agreement that includes maintaining a practice with supervision. In other words, if you've got a current clinic director, that type of practice needs to continue. That he voluntarily can have alcohol and drug testing, attend AA meetings, and
an addictionologist evaluation.
And I'm open to other suggestions. I guess if I'm making the motion, I'll stop there for discussion.
Okay.
And can we just add the alternative, if not accepted, that consent agreement? Where would you want it to go?
To a formal hearing.
Is there a time frame on when you would like it signed?
What's customary for that? 10 days, 2 weeks? 10 days?
Okay. Anything else? Okay. I'm going to go ahead and call for the, or is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Any further discussion? Okay. I'll call for the question. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Yeah, it should be.
I'm sorry.
Roll call.
Ms. Powell?
Present. Yes, aye.
Dr. Kolach?
Aye.
Dr. Graham?
Aye.
And Dr. Malfus Rikis, thank you.
Okay, so the ayes have it.
I neglected to ask this part, which is if he does accept the consent agreement, then we still need to where to go.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought
we could have a separate motion on that to send it to formal interview, would be my presumption.
Formal interview?
Yes. So moved.
Second.
And that's just a.
Okay. So we don't have to vote on that again?
Or well, if you could.
Okay. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed?
Just because I went a little, I didn't intervene clear enough, I just want to let you know what my understanding of everything was. So now would be the time to correct us if we're wrong, but it would be a consent agreement to be accepted within 10 days, and if not accepted, proceed to formal hearing. If the consent agreement is accepted, to schedule the matter for a formal interview, the consent agreement would be a practice restriction for the doctor only to practice in a setting similar to what he's described today with a multi-doctor setting, some sort of supervision. We all catch the...
Cannot be in the office.
Solo. And then also to obtain a substance abuse evaluation, fitness to practice general evaluation, the two include substance abuse issues, and to obtain drug and alcohol screening and attend AA meetings. Typically, when you do get the substance abuse evaluation, you'll have additional recommendations from the evaluator if there's any need for further evaluation or further
months ago.
Yeah. If he was, I wish you could. And that's right. If he was still in that plan, then I would have recommended maybe just to provide reports out of that. But since he's not doing it, we'll use the board standard consent form that you've seen that has all the terms about drug testing. One thing we didn't address is how frequently. Mm-hmm. I don't know what our kind of default is. Twice.
Default is once a month.
Once a month
or twice a month. And in that vein, is the board interested in having him complete the EBAS examination, the ethics and boundaries, evaluate that? And then included in that, would the board like to have delegate any of the authority to the director to negotiate some of those terms or modify the agreement to ensure that he's complying with everything that you're asking?
And I hate to do it, but
maybe do it.
What I'd probably recommend, given the additional tracks, and maybe before we make the motion, let's be sure we have it all clear.
Right.
But I would actually request that the board vote to vacate its prior vote, and then we just clean it up and do it again.
Okay.
Someone would so move to vacate the prior vote.
Since I made the first motion, I will so move.
Second. Okay. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
And so then one more time through it, I'll phrase what I understand. Justin, jump in, mm-hmm. and if I forget something, and then you can just say so moved, since I think we're all on the same page. But so as I have it, the motion would be to send the matter to formal interview, at the same time offer a consent agreement, which I'll describe in a second. If that consent agreement is not accepted, to instead proceed to formal hearing. The consent agreement to be offered must be accepted within 10 days. It would require the doctor not to practice in a solo setting. He would get alcohol and drug screening of up to 2 times per month, attend AA meetings at the same frequency, and obtain a fitness to practice evaluation to include substance abuse evaluation. He would delegate to the director some authority to negotiate the finer points of that consent agreement. Anything substantively different, we'd probably end up bringing back to you instead.
The EBAS examination.
EBAS.
I find that to be a very good tool, but I didn't know if it could be done in the time between now and either a formal interview or hearing. Can it be accomplished in a manner that is consistent with the consent agreement? I mean, get it, and before we. Because we're going to a formal interview anyway, that has to be accomplished, I think, within some time frame from now.
And I don't know the answer to the frequency of that.
My understanding is they provide the EBAS examination every day of the week.
It's on demand, but...
You could require that if that's what you want.
So take and pass all parts within 2 months?
Oh, well, that's what my question was. Can it be done before the formal interview is going to happen anyway?
Perhaps. And I would just remind you that, I mean, you have a potential conviction of a felony on the table, at least that is offered to him. And that would likely be the type of remedy you would have him take, regardless of where this case goes at the end of it. So even if it doesn't get completed before you have the formal interview, I would suspect that might have resulted in an EBAS evaluation anyway. So
it would.
But within 2 months is what we'll put in the consent agreement.
Okay. I'm good with that.
Okay. Is everyone clear on the terms? Okay.
So moved.
And we will work diligently to get that out within the next couple days as quickly as we can do it. And then update you as to... you'll see it either on your agenda for the formal interview or a formal hearing, I guess. But any individual board member can always inquire with staff about the status of things in the interim if you're curious.
Mr. Bohan.
So that we have the motion. Do we have a second?
Yes, second.
And then a roll call vote. Ms. Powell?
Aye.
Dr. Kolash?
Aye.
Dr. Greenan?
Aye.
And Dr. Knopf is recused.
Okay. So... we're done today. This concludes your case today. You're going to hear from Mr. Bohan and staff, and they're going to offer you a consent agreement to sign within 10 days. Good. Thanks for coming.
Thank you. Okay.
Okay, does anybody need a break before we continue?
Yes, please.
Okay, we're going to take a short break and we'll be back. Okay, we're back in session with tab number 7, the matter of Dr. William Heath. Can you please introduce yourselves for the record?
My name is Dr. William Heath, and my attorney's name is Bruce Smith.
Good morning.
Thank you. Mr. Bohan.
And for the record, I believe the patient is present and signed in to speak. Please come forward. And just remember, use your patient initials only. And same for you, patient initials only. Okay?
Hi.
Hi, J.H.
Thank you.
I'll provide a summary to the board. The allegations before the board in case number 2019-006 are inappropriate physical contact with the patient, sexual improprieties that Dr. Heath may be a danger to the health, safety, and welfare of the public, may have been non-compliant with the board subpoena, may have engaged in unprofessional conduct, and may have failed to release records.
All right, thank you. So we've read all the board meeting materials. We're going to start on this side over here. Mr. Smith, do you have anything you'd like to say on behalf of your client?
Yes, Dr. Garino, thank you. The board file should have in it a copy of the September 6th letter, and it says it was certified mail. If you look at the upper left-hand corner of that letter, it has a stamp that it was received by the board on October 3. What happened here is the board attempted to serve Dr. Heath by certified mail. Dr. Heath does not have a five-day-a-week practice. For whatever reason, the post office returned that certified letter. It was not accepted or received by Dr. Heath at all. Dr. Heath did not have any contact with the board, either by regular mail or phone calls. The first that he was aware of this board matter was at the end of last week when a subpoena was issued and he received it, and I believe it was Thursday of last week for this morning's hearing. He reached out to start retaining representation on Friday, I believe. Our office was contacted and we ran our conflicts check as we're required to do on Monday. We promptly sent a letter of representation to the board roughly around 11 to noon on Monday. We requested that this matter be continued so that the doctor would have an opportunity to produce records for the board as well as to provide a narrative response to the allegations. I was advised by staff that it had already been placed on an agenda and that we needed to make that request to the board. Dr. Heath is of course willing to voluntarily produce his records on this patient. He's also willing to go through and produce billing records, which were part of the original subpoena as well. And the board also requested his continuing education certificates for 2016 and 2017. I just began receiving records and looking at them yesterday. We are in the process of gathering all the records and making sure that everything is complete. I can tell you that Dr. Heath does have records from 2010, 2011, and 2012. There are also records from 2016, 2017, and 2018. The dates are important because, as the board knows, under Arizona law, licensing boards can only consider matters that occur within 4 years of the complaint being filed. That's ARS 32, I think it's 3224. The complaint in and of itself is vague as to when alleged inappropriate contact with her occurred. The complaint does say that the patient was, had a clear memory, but the complaint does not have a date in there. So one of the things that we would like the board to do is we would like this to be continued so that we can submit a written response on behalf of the doctor so that we can provide the board the records so that it has materials to consider in this case, and then we can then the matter can proceed as the other agenda items have this morning. So that would be our request at this time. And with regard to the production of the records, I will tell you that our practice in our office is very simple and straightforward. We make sure that we get all the records for all of our clients. We organize them and produce them in an organized fashion. And we make sure that we retain a copy for our records of what we actually provide to the board. And we would like that opportunity today. And because we have records going back to 2010, and because the board subpoena also requests billing records, we want to make sure that if there are any such records going back 8 or 9 years, that we have the opportunity to find and locate those and provide those to the board. So our request today is that we that the board can just continue this matter on its agenda.
Mr. Rain, what are our options with continuing the matter for them to get records together?
Yeah, well, I would understand that then when we continue, we'd be bringing them back as an initial action. You know, if you were to want to proceed to a formal interview, the matters that council discussed could still take place, and then when you came back, you would be in a position to take action. So if the materials that you have presently or the nature of the allegations or what you hear from the patient suggest to you that that you think it's quite likely you might want to go to a formal interview, you could deny the motion to continue, but with the understanding that you're going to the lower level investigative stage, probably in maybe even a couple months' time, depending on the nature of the timing, should be adequate time to produce these materials. Or, as the request is, just to keep it in its current status as an investigation and gather these materials. I would note, just for future discussion and to give you my quick perspective on it, at least that the statute 32-224 regarding statutes of limitations for board actions does not apply to allegations of sexual.
Thank you. Mr. Bohan?
If the board would like to entertain the motion for continuance, we do have the patient present, so it may be advisable to at least hear from the patient and provide her have the opportunity for her to provide her testimony if she is not available at a future board meeting for your consideration.
Sounds reasonable. Thank you for coming. I would like to hear from you. And if you can please, we have read all the board meeting materials. You know, if there's something you'd like to clarify or something you'd like to tell us, now is the time.
Yes, the investigator told me to prepare a statement, so okay. I did that today, and I have brought records. Okay, so I went to Dr. Heath in severe pain, looking for help, and he helped me immensely. And he gained my trust. It wasn't until Thanksgiving in 2015 when I injured my back on a trip home, and I came home in the worst pain of my life. And that's when things began to change. And I believe he started to groom me. I had herniated a couple discs in my back, and I had severe sciatic pain shooting down my legs, and I could barely walk. I was out of work over 2 months. I went to see him immediately upon my return home, and I was still recovering from pneumonia. And as soon as I walked in the door, he greeted me by putting both of his hands on my chest and started rubbing the area above my breasts and made the comment on how I was swollen. I was so shocked, I didn't know how to react. I was in so much pain, and I didn't have the tools to stand up for myself due to my prior sexual abuse as a child, so I said nothing. As time went on, every time I was sick, which I get recurring respiratory infections due to my GERD, he would always greet me this way. Then I began to notice when he would have me lie face down, he began running his hands along my sides, and when it would get higher up my sides, he began feeling the sides of my breasts. Then, after a while, when I was lying on my back, he began running his hands down the middle of my chest, in between my breasts. Then he would start running his hands underneath my breasts and above them. He slowly started adding these moves in each visit that he never did the first year I began seeing him. He never once asked me if I was comfortable with any of these moves. This is why I feel he was grooming me. He gained my trust first. When discussing my other health issues, he would always point out that no one will ever take me seriously because of my weight, just like no one would take him seriously because of his age. I thought he was trying to empathize, but I realize now he was trying to manipulate me into silence. He helped me tremendously with relieving my pain, got me in whenever I needed to be seen, and then slowly introduced a little grope here or there. And when I didn't say anything, because I truly wasn't capable of saying anything, it slowly progressed over time. I found myself trapped in a situation I didn't know how to get out of. I tried seeing other chiropractors, but they made the pain worse. And I only went back when it was extremely painful. He would often also make inappropriate jokes about sex and tell me if I was going on a trip that I should be running around on the beach naked and having lots of sex. This always made me feel uncomfortable, but I didn't know how to respond, so I just wouldn't say anything. In the beginning, I used to highly recommend him to anyone, but once this behavior began happening, I wouldn't give his name out to anyone out of fear he would treat my friends the same way. It's amazing what you will tolerate when you are in pain. Then on August 14th, 2018, it became crystal clear that I had been assaulted, so I had to speak up. If not for me, but for the elderly and young patients I often saw in his waiting room, knowing he could be doing the same to them. Only on that day, he did all the same moves, but he did one adjustment I wasn't expecting and I didn't ask for. I was sitting in the chair. After the last adjustment he usually makes, assuming he was doing the paperwork, when all of a sudden he put his right hand under my right breast, cupping it, and put his left hand down my shirt, grabbing my bare breast and grabbing it and started shaking it up and down, and then moved onto my left breast, doing the same. And all he said was, "I had to adjust your chest." I went into complete shock after this happened. I know I must have talked my way out of the building. I definitely went into flight mode. I don't even remember how I got out of there. The next thing I remember was getting into my car sobbing. This has affected me deeply. I couldn't eat, sleep, or function the first 2 weeks after it happened. I still can't drive down the street his practice is on. It caused me to have PTSD. I had to start seeing a therapist. I was in the middle of doing physical therapy and having panic attacks going there, and I couldn't be touched by the male physical therapist that I had been working with for weeks. It was then that I talked to the female physical therapist that oversaw my program about everything that happened that I experienced with Dr. Heath. Then I had to find a new female chiropractor, and the first couple times going to her, I started having panic attacks just being in the room with a chiropractic table. I trusted Dr. Heath over my own gut because he was a doctor in a practice that is hands-on, and now I struggle trusting any doctors. I know now, after speaking to my physical therapist, my new chiropractor, and my therapist, that there is no reason whatsoever Dr. Heath had to touch me anywhere near my chest for low back pain or left hip pain. I never once complained of chest pain, and he never once asked me if I was okay being touched in that area. Even if I had ever complained of chest pain, there is no reason for him to have put his hands under my clothes on my bare breasts. After this happened, I got my appointment records of my visits with him for the 2 years prior to August 14th, 2018. And I found out from my insurance company that he stopped charging my insurance after September 15th, 2015, which was right at the same time when he first started groping me. I suffer from recurring cellulitis that maxes out my health insurance within the first 3 months of the year since 2013. So I usually have free health care after paying all my hospital bills. So I had no idea he stopped charging me. So why would he not want United Healthcare to pay him for his services for 3 years that I was his patient? It's because he was inappropriately touching me and then finally assaulted me. Please do not let him do this to anyone else. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony and courage to testify.
And I have those records today.
We'll take those. Okay.
These are my company records and his records they gave me.
So I would expect that we're going to continue the investigation. And so the question is, do we continue as to a formal interview where we can take disciplinary action at that time, if appropriate, or continue under the current status of initial action? Board members, do you have any questions for either before we decide?
Well, I would think that we would continue as an initial action since Dr. Heath and his representation are not prepared to address this today.
It's just one option?
One option. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Bohal, I've got a question for you. Was there any additional communication sent to the doctor's office following the certified letter? I know he wasn't open 5 days a week to receive it. Was there any additional follow-up?
I would have to check the record, but standard protocol is to follow up with a letter or a phone call confirming some information. I do recall that Ms. Kennel had been in contact with him coming up to the hearing, so he was aware of the hearing, and as you can see, available and present today. If the board would like to consider moving to the formal interview, I do believe that would provide him sufficient time to gather the information, as well as not delay the investigative process.
If anyone else had questions.
I was just going to say, you said you tried to follow up by phone. Did you leave a, do you know if you left a voice message?
I'm not sure. The standard protocol would be to leave a message. I would believe it would be vague, so as not to disclose the details of the case. It would probably be along the lines of, this is the board office attempting to contact you. Please return our call at our office so we can communicate with you about a particular issue. I do recall in this case that the doctor's wife was trying to contact us, and because of the nature of the case, we did not communicate that information to her. We directed that we needed to speak directly to the doctor.
Okay. Do you remember the time frame for that?
I recall that when we sent notice of the meeting, I'm not sure what occurred prior to that.
Dr. Heath, do you recall any communications from the board?
I don't. My wife put cheese in the back of the room.
Can we ask her?
Yeah.
Would you like to come forward and add some clarity to the contact point? Do you remember? Can you please state your name for the record?
My name is Christine J. Heath.
Hi, thanks for coming. So, do you recall when, if you were notified in writing and or by telephone from the Arizona Board of Chiropractic Examiners?
Nope. And the only thing I would say by that is the doctor was out several days and not feeling well, voicemail piles up, so I could have missed it, but I don't think I did, and I did not have any mail from the board until the postman brought the certified letter in and I signed for it. And there's no reason I would not sign for any of those because that's just stupid.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
All right, so how to proceed?
Mr. Chair, I'd make a motion to forward this to formal interview at this point. I think there's a lot of outstanding records that we don't have, especially pertaining to some potential billing discrepancies. That adds just another layer of complexity to this for me. And so I think forwarding to a formal interview is the way to go.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Okay, any further discussion? Okay, hearing none, I'm going to call for the question to continue the investigation as a formal interview. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, hearing none, the motion carries. So you'll have an opportunity to present the records and the billing. We're going to reschedule the hearing for another date, and you'll have an opportunity as well to come back and testify again if you choose. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yep. Okay, moving along to tab number 8 in the matter of Dr. Kenley Reese.
Tab number 8 is case number 2019-017, Kenley Reese. The doctor has not signed in to speak, and there's no additional information.
Okay.
Board brief. The allegations before the board are that Dr. Kenley Reese may use or abuse drugs and alcohol, may have pending criminal prosecution, may be charged with a felony, may be a danger to the health, safety, and welfare of the public, may be non-compliant with a subpoena, may have engaged in unprofessional conduct, and may have failed to report an arrest within 10 days.
Okay, so do we have any clarity on the potential chiropractic assistant who was unregistered? Or registered?
We have confirmed that she was not registered with the board.
Okay. So, board members, do you think this doctor is dangerous enough to, consider a summary suspension he's not here. He's not here to testify, so we can forward it to a formal interview or a formal hearing.
Another option could be, given his lack of participation, an offer of a consent agreement to surrender and not accepted, go to formal hearing.
Okay.
I would so move that.
Okay. Is there a second?
That second is Dr. Knopf.
Okay. Any further discussion? Okay, hearing none, I'll call for the question. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed?
Can we do a roll call?
Roll call.
Yeah, excuse me, thank you, just.
Ms. Powell?
Aye.
Dr. Kolesch?
Aye.
Dr. Knopf?
Aye.
Dr. Greeno?
Aye. Okay, so the motion carries. Staff is directed to offer a consent agreement and move to formal interview. Tab number 9, and the matter of Dr. Billy Barefoot. Hi, thanks for coming. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Dr. Billy Barefoot.
Robert Shell, attorney for Dr. Barefoot.
Anyone else signed in?
That is everyone.
Okay.
Board voted to consolidate the two cases previously before the board. Case number 2019-003 and 2019-014. The allegations before the board that Dr. Barefoot may have inappropriate physical contact with a patient, may be a danger to the health, safety, and welfare of the public, may be working outside the scope of chiropractic, may have engaged in unprofessional conduct, as well as may have had a breach of doctor-patient confidentiality, may have engaged in unprofessional conduct, and inappropriate physical contact.
Thank you. So, as I recall, one of the reasons why we continue to today was to get a chance to look at all the medical records that you had provided that we had not seen previously. And one of the testimony concerns that we had was that you were doing taping procedures on a patient cohort, one of your employees in her psoas area, and I looked through, I think, 200 pages of records, and I didn't see anything to that regard. Does anybody have any other concerns? At this point, we can move to a formal interview if you think that there's more to do here, and disciplinary action might be something that we do. But before we make that decision, do we have any further questions for the doctor or his counsel today?
Yeah, the question for me is just what you say. I didn't see evidence of taping procedures in the notes either. I mean, what's your reaction to that, Doc?
There was no taping procedure.
Okay.
The only time that we had any taping procedure was for when she was an employee, and that was for instructional, educational only, as an employee.
Not for health reasons?
Not for health reasons, no.
Why would you need to instruct her on how to do it if you didn't do it?
To show how to do the taping on the patients that were coming in.
But you don't do taping?
We do taping, just not on that particular patient.
Oh, I see.
Just for clarification, Mr. Bowell, is taping under the physiotherapy, I mean the PMD?
That is the understanding that we had been given the additional stuff, items that were outside of the scope for the board to consider was cupping. The acupuncture rule states that cupping is not included under acupuncture, and so it would be for the board to determine if cupping is within the chiropractic scope or under physical medicine modalities, but that's under the board's discretion. Something I would like to note, the patient was going to consider to be by phone. I've confirmed that she's not on the line, but we do have additional information that she provided. I'll provide a copy to the attorney as well, but she provided these yesterday, as well as a follow-up complaint that was filed.
Sorry, I see what we're doing here now.
Okay, so for the record, I'm looking at a complaint form filled out by an anonymous person who states that in July of 2018 that it looks like Dr. Ty Ruddle reached out to this person regarding is inappropriate regarding Dr. Barefoot's inappropriate behavior with patient KM through Facebook Messenger. I will take a moment and read that. And the other is a description of cupping pictures and others that we'll take a moment in review by KM. Which includes somebody that looks to be in a wedding gown with a bunch of cupping marks on her back. Okay, so we have some evidence. Dr. Barefoot, if you've had time to read this and review it, do you have any response to any of this?
I haven't had time to completely read it yet, no.
Okay.
I don't know how we can be expected to respond to complaints that we just received while we're sitting up here.
You don't have to. I'm just asking if you...
Yeah.
Okay. So, does anybody want to continue the investigation?
Mr. Chair, yeah. I'll make the motion, Mr. Dr. Knopf, to move this into a formal interview process at this point, giving you guys the chance to review the materials presented as well.
Second. Okay. Any further discussion? Okay, hearing none, I'll call for the question. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, the motion carries. Thanks for coming today. We're going to continue the formal interview. Next, we have tabs number 10 and 11 in the matter of Dr. Jordan Ball.
You can complain and assign them to speak as well as someone listed as other if you'd like to come forward. The doctor has not signed in to speak.
You can announce your initials or if you like for the record.
Okay, my name is Dr. Keith Moore.
Okay, thank you. And Mr. Ballhall, you get a board brief.
The complaint was filed against Dr. Ball's license for failure to release records and engaging in unprofessional conduct. Notice of the complaint was sent to the address of record and was returned to the board office as returned to center. Board staff attempted to contact Dr. Ball by phone regarding the pending complaint. Staff spoke with Dr. Ball on February 26, 2019 and informed him that he had not responded to the complaints. An email was sent to Dr. Ball on February 26, 2019 containing the notice of complaint and subpoena. As of April 9, 2019, Dr. Ball has not provided a response to the complaint. The board may consider the following options: dismissing the complaint, closing the complaint with issuing a non-disciplinary advisory letter, forwarding the complaint for formal interview. Additionally, the board could consider any testimony the complainant has today.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, again, my name is Dr. Keith Moore. Dr. Ball was in my office treating patients for a short while. Upon our depart, took patient records with him, and I have sent numerous patient records to him. No response, and as of this point in time, I have not gotten any of the patient records back.
So, did you co-treat the same patients, or did he have an autonomous practice inside yours?
We co-treated patients.
Okay, and did you have paper charts or electronic records?
Paper charts.
And so you sent him your only copies of your patient records? And they were received and not returned to you? Or, I mean, you sent them by mail? Did you have them delivered? How did they get to him?
The patient requests is what you're talking about?
No, I thought you said to the doctor. You're sending out records to the patients or to the doctor?
No, I'm sending patient requests for records to be returned.
Okay, let's back up. You worked in a practice with Dr. Ball.
Correct.
Did you send him records?
No.
Okay.
He treated patients in my office for a short time.
So he left with the records?
Correct.
And now you can't get them back?
Correct.
Okay.
And I have multiple patients sign forms, and I have mailed them to him and emailed them to him. And at this point in time, I have not received any of those records back.
Did you know he was leaving with the records, or he just disappeared with the records? Why would he take your records if they were your records and his records?
I don't have any idea.
Okay. Okay, so you can't possibly comply with the records request now either, if they're your patients and you don't have the records anymore.
Correct.
Okay. That's not good. So, do you have any questions for the doctor?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. How many records are we talking about, approximately?
Approximately 83.
83 records.
I have 83 requests.
Did Justin Ward ever reach Doctor? Have any conversation with him at all?
Mm-hmm.
And what did he say?
So I was the one that actually was able to get a hold of him.
Uh-huh.
After several attempts at different phone numbers and different addresses.
Okay.
I spoke to him and I asked about the two pending complaints, and he said he was unaware of them. And I said, I'm happy to provide that information to you,
okay.
But I would need you to respond right away.
Okay.
And he said, can you email them, because I'd like to provide a response today. He said, absolutely. I gathered and confirmed his best email address to send it to. We sent it to him and had no further contact with him, even though we've attempted to, and sent notices of hearing, and he confirmed that that was his correct address. And it seems that Dr. Moore is having the same issue.
Thank you.
How many months was he employed in your office, or did you work together?
A little over 2 years.
Okay. Okay, well, we're going to have to continue the investigation if we're going to take any disciplinary action and escalate this any further. So does someone want to make a motion to a formal hearing or interview?
This is Dr. Knopf. I'll make the motion to move this to a formal interview.
Second.
So for discussion, we've got somebody who's had very little contact with us. Is it appropriate to go to a formal hearing straight from here, or?
I mean, I think you could, only in the sense that I don't see that you will gather. I mean, I guess you could gather his explanation in the formality, but you could gather that at the hearing. I'd be comfortable with moving to a formal hearing. You may wish to also consider offering a consent agreement for surrender, given the lack of participation in the board process. It could be that he's just blowing it off, but the sound of things, you might not get a lot of response to that either. But so I guess the short answer is I guess a hearing makes sense to me under these circumstances. There's not a lot more information to gather except his story.
So is that a friendly amendment to the first and second?
I'll remove my first motion at this point, and I'll instead make a new motion. This is Dr. Knopf to move this to a formal hearing at this point.
Second.
Okay. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, hearing none, the motion carries. We're going to move this to a formal interview process, which gives us the ability to issue disciplinary action if appropriate at that time. We can't do that today and during the structure of this meeting. So thank you for your testimony. And I don't know what's going to happen. You know, if you've got patients making complaints against you, we'll have to deal with that at that time when it happens. But thanks for coming and adding some clarity today.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay. Okay, tab number 12. We have supplemental materials in our...
Yes. Did you want to vote and consolidate 10 and 11 into one complaint?
Yes.
And I was unclear. Are the materials, I mean, is it a different complaint? How do the two cases work together?
I believe it was...
That I had just the same board brief.
Yeah, I think it's the same material. This one, the second complaint, is an individual patient requesting the same thing for her records.
I move to consolidate.
The second motion.
Okay, those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Okay, hearing none, they're consolidated and both gone to formal interview. That's one.
And just to clarify, we're going to do formal hearing.
Hearing. Thank you.
Okay,
now whether to open tab number 12.
Yes, the additional materials in your folder, I'm happy to provide a board brief. No one has signed in to speak. The summary of the whether to open is that the board staff received a complaint stating Dr. Mejia refused to treat a patient. The complainant alleged that it was age-related and that Dr. Mejia was rude to her. The board may consider opening a complaint against Dr. Mejia's license for unprofessional conduct, or ARS 32924A5. It should be noted that this complaint was referred to us from the Arizona Medical Board.
I would was that filed with the Arizona Medical Board?
I'm not sure. They sent the complaint, the patient sent the complaint to them. They forwarded it to us.
Like by mistake. Okay.
So it's not as though a treatment protocol is established, and you know he refused to treat her. So I guess there's nothing wrong with that, unless you think that the way that he spoke to her was unprofessional, or and that would be a case where we would open up a claim.
I'm just not sure how far it'll get us, having someone there to witness it, become another he said, she said, I didn't say that. I'm not sure how much more we're going to get out of this.
If the potential conduct is a concern to the board, you could always open a complaint and close it with a non-disciplinary advisory letter, just reminding him of the standards of communication.
Yeah, I would make that motion to open the complaint and close it by issuing a non-disciplinary letter.
I second the motion.
Okay, and then we normally stipulate whether that's a clear violation or a letter of concern.
I'll just say letter of concern at this point.
Okay. Any further discussion? Okay, hearing none, I'll call for the question. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. And we will move on to tab number 13.
Tab number 13 is case numbers 2014-086 and 2016-016. Christopher Butler, the doctor signed on to speak. Please come forward.
Hi, good morning. Still, I think.
Just
not quite.
Just
not quite.
It's okay.
Thanks. Please introduce yourself for the record.
My name is Dr. Christopher Ray Butler.
Hi. Thanks. Mr. Bohan?
Yes. Dr. Butler's license was placed on probation on March 23, 2016 for a term of 5 years. The term of probations are as follows: that he obtain a board-approved monitor, abstain from alcohol and drug use, complete a sober living and intensive outpatient program, attend a minimum of one AA or NA meetings per month, subject to alcohol and drug testing, provide proof of prescriptions, and complete the ethics and boundaries assessment. Board staff received a request from Dr. Butler for the early termination of his probation. Staff has also received a copy of the March 2019 monthly report stating that Dr. Butler has successfully completed the terms of his probation. Board staff notes that previously, Dr. Butler did not enter into an agreement with Arizona Professional Monitoring within 21 days as required by the order, but the board may grant the request for termination of probation or may deny the request and consider this at a future board meeting.
So I want to thank you for complying, over the last 3 years. The only thing that you were missing is the first 21 days. I think it took you 6 weeks to get started with the monitor. In a case like this, sometimes we grant early termination, and in others, we just let it continue for the full duration. But I think that you've demonstrated a lot of, complete compliance with everything so far. So I commend you for that. Board members, do you have any questions? Do you have anything that you want to say for yourself since you're here?
I just give you a bright ray of hope through this one day you're going to have to go through. Cases like this has been an amazing thing for me, and I appreciate the time and that it's helped for me to change me as a person and made me a better chiropractor. And through this, I go to first year winter meeting every day, and then I've sponsored 10 people, and in the process of this, seeing 5 people die, I understand importance of what this is, and if there ever anything I can do to help people that get in this situation and give them some positivity. Funny enough, ironically, I don't know how I can speak because this is a thing, but Kenley Reese is a person who I sold my practice to, and I in high school raised him as a kid, and his dad is a chiropractor,
just funny, like that this is the synchronicities I found in my life and put things good in my life that I be able to help people. So it's just amazing. And I appreciate this because like it kind of honed me in. It gave me at the beginning kind of a focus and a kind of a accountability. So, and yeah, and it's been a fun journey. And I've learned how to be a kinder person, more loving, more focused and present in my practice, which is like one of the things I've taught learning from meditation and things is, and it makes me being a more aware doctor. So it's been a, so many things, just one of the positive things. This is like when good things like this happen. So yeah, I'm grateful. I get to get back to work.
So if we were to grant early termination, you would no longer have to do drug testing and any of the other terms. Are you ready for that?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I'm continuing. I'm running a meeting. I've spoke like at least 15 times in different meetings from Cocaine Anonymous to being a part of that. I'm running an actual addiction recovery program in my church. So, yeah, it's a lifetime thing, continuing to do it and be a part of it. So, regardless of whatever happened to me, I'm happy and completely fine with whatever. That's a good place to be.
Thank you. Anybody want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to grant termination, early termination of probation.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion? Okay. I'll call for the question. Those in favor of granting early termination signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, hearing none, your request is granted.
All right, thank you very much.
Okay.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Okay, next on our agenda is tab number 14, the matter of Dr. Scott Benick.
Case number 2018-034, no one is signed in to speak. The board has... Court staff has drafted a consent agreement for the resolution of this case. It has been provided to the board. It has been signed by the doctor and reviewed by his attorney. The requirements of the order that he would be on probation for a year, the cost of the investigation would be stayed. He would be required to complete 2 hours of continuing education in ethics, take and pass the board's jurisprudence exam within 6 months, and abstain from alcohol and have DNA scanning for biological fluid scanning for compliance with that particular part of the order, and that would be random. This would be concurrent with his criminal probation and similar in mirroring that with some additional requirements. So the board can consider accepting this, and that would close the pending complaint before the board.
Okay. Is there a motion to accept?
This is Dr. Knopf. I'll make the motion to accept.
Second.
Okay. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, we will go on to tab number 15.
Tab 15 is case number 2017-061, Zayed Denny Abul Hassan. No one is signed in to speak. The board staff, again, at the request of the doctor, drafted a consent agreement for the resolution of this complaint. The doctor has signed the agreement and reviewed it. The terms of the probation, apologize. The terms of probation, to be placed on probation for 5 years, obtain a board approved monitor, abstain from alcohol, have random screening done, shall pay the cost of the investigation, complete the board's jurisprudence exam, and the ethics and boundaries examination performed by the EBAS organization, as well as take continuing education and now 24 hours worth with 12
that have been pre-approved by the board staff and ethics.
Okay. Is there a motion to accept the consent agreement?
I'll make a motion to accept.
Second.
Okay. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Hearing none, motion will carry. Tab number H, letter H.
Yes. So this is the executive director's report. Sorry, go ahead.
Would it be appropriate to, at what point would it be appropriate to open a complaint against Dr. Viga?
You can, at this point, would be fine if you'd like to direct staff to do that.
Oh, Viga?
Yeah.
Viga? Okay. For unprofessional conduct and...
Yes.
Would the board like to open the complaint and close it with the issuance of a non-disciplinary advisory letter, or pursue it for a full investigation?
I think I'd like to hear from the individual.
Okay. So. Second.
Is that just a directive, or is that a motion?
Yeah, was that a directive? I wouldn't want a vote on it.
So oh, okay.
It's not particularly agendized. Any board member can always direct staff to check into a minute.
Got
it.
Okay.
2 minutes.
Tab 16.
Tab 16. So provided in your folders is a budget report. As you can see, as of April 1st, 75% of the fiscal year has elapsed. We are at 99% of our expected revenue received. As you can see, that's the conclusion of our renewal season. That will, of course, trickle up to 100% here before the end of the year. I may have been conservative in our revenue projections, and we may exceed that, which is good news. We are, of course, always doing everything we can to provide cost savings to the board. We should be at 75% of our appropriation paid out. We are currently only at 64%. That's the budget report that I have. Additionally, the legislative update I'll start with SB 1086. So that passed through the Senate unanimously. It passed through the House committee unanimously. It's now awaiting final vote in the House. And that's focusing on temporary licenses for individuals. The other bill that's particular about licensing is HB 2569, which was signed by the governor last week. And it focuses on issuing licenses. The title of the bill is reciprocity, but it's not quite reciprocity because other states don't reciprocate that agreement. So it'd be more like licensure by endorsement. And there's terms of it, and it roughly boils down to that they have to be licensed in another state for at least 1 year with no criminal conduct or no pending complaints. And then they're subject to a background check. We would be working with the AG's office on drafting how that would be processed once the statute becomes effective, which is 90 days after session ends. So likely August or September.
Who was behind that one?
I believe the sponsor of the bill was Warren Peterson. I believe there was broad support from the Institute for Justice and the Goldwater Institute.
So am I understanding you correctly that our current reciprocity agreement will be altered?
The reciprocity in our statute would stand. This would be an additional path to licensure, so anybody applying for a license could apply by exam, reciprocity through the agreement endorsement, which we have, and then through this fourth path. I don't know what we'd be able to call it, shortened endorsement, shortened license.
I meant to say endorsement instead of reciprocity.
Yeah.
So,
but all of those still stand. This one is just an additional path for those that may not qualify for the other three.
Okay.
So is it your understanding that there are additional requirements in our current endorsement that are eliminated in the current
is it 5 years?
Ours is 5 of the last 7 years for endorsement, but we do waives the educational experience. This path requires all of the examination requirements, but only 1 year of licensing.
So part four board exam taken and passed, okay.
Yes. But we would work with consultation with the AG's office to provide exactly how that would fit in our current statute and how we would process those.
So if they've already taken and passed part four, why would they even want to go that route? What would be the advantage?
The short time. It doesn't really affect us because we don't have the requirement for examination.
Well, this isn't specific to chiropractic.
This is broad, all licensing boards.
Okay, it doesn't sound like it changes much for us.
It really doesn't because we've already done so much to ensure that we're very, very open.
Just as if someone were to come in near the end of the year and go through this process, how will you account for continuing ed if they have a less strict requirement or fewer hours required?
They would be required to comply with any of the terms of the license here, so they would have to have the full continuing education credit to renew their license. So if they are short 3 hours, they can attend a board meeting, just like these individuals.
And it doesn't affect hairstylists that are not cutting hair?
That's a separate bill.
Right.
Okay, I should have signed another one today.
Yeah, just for the board's information, we had our section meeting among the attorneys that do the same thing I do, and the discussion was having about this bill, that it's going up the chain over at the AG's office, and that while we're not prepared to give our agency's advice on it, that the plan is to roll out some uniform advice to all the agencies affected in the future. So we'll first consult with Justin, but then if there would be a memo or something, we'd provide to the board at a future date. But it's going to impact all these different agencies differently based on their specific statutes. But it sounds to me like maybe not as impactful here as it might be elsewhere. But we'll give advice in the future.
So the other part of the directory that takes care of tab 16, tab 17 is the report on applications approved by the director. I've provided that report in your packet. Again, the information is that we're processing applications from a received application to issuing the license on an average of 27 days, which as of last July was 86 days. So we have now cut that down substantially. But the options before the board may vote to ratify the approval or vote to review one or more applications at a future meeting.
Is there a motion to ratify?
I'll make the motion to ratify.
I'll second.
Okay, those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, it's ratified.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The board would like to consider a call to the public, and then you could address tab 18.
Yeah, I'd like to make a call to the public. This is an opportunity for anybody out there to come up, step to them, up to the microphone or not. You can tell us what you felt about the meeting. You can say whatever you want. We're not allowed to respond. So I'll take the extroverts first. And then I'll take the introverts. Nobody? Okay, thanks for coming. You can leave. We're gonna handle some board business and break into executive session. So we're gonna be leaving the room, and this is the last item on our agenda.
Okay. So
thanks for being here.
Thank you. Okay. Tab 18. Would like to motion.
Can we get a motion for executive session?
Yes, I'd like to make a motion to go into executive session.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, we're in executive session. Okay, so we're back in regular session, and we're considering Mr. Bohal's interim service agreement, sharing him with the osteopathic board over the next 6 months. So we need a motion.
Or discussion.
Or discussion.
Did you have one in mind? As the chairperson.
I'm in favor of an interim agreement for 6 months, you know, that we can choose to continue or not based on performance. I'm in favor. It'll give us some time to make our next move and consider all hiring options. So I'll make that motion.
I'll second for discussion.
Okay.
My thought on that is I would like to, I agree with the interim service agreement. I would like us to move more quickly toward recognizing a future candidate rather than 6 months. My opinion would be looking toward a new director sooner rather than later. But if I respect a good transition time and respect the value of that.
Okay. And that's my motion, and along with that, I'm willing to be a contact point for future hiring.
And so would we under this motion, when would we be addressing any issue about a replacement, in 3 months or before, or as you decide? Does that need to be in the motion?
No, I mean, I think essentially there's nothing to be, and it's not really agendized to do a lot on that issue as much as just the ISA issue. So, but what I would propose is that we get started quickly in the discussion of your options, get you connected, Dr. Grinnell, with AUA staff, get you the information so you fully understand the options, and then perhaps at your next board meeting or at a special meeting at some point, sooner rather than later, that we have a meeting where you have all your options on the table for discussion, and the board can vote whether to proceed with the candidates or not. I'm not entirely sure that, I mean, you could probably do both at the same time, I'm guessing, as field candidates while you're also evaluating if this ISA is also a potential permanent solution. But you don't necessarily want to wait 6 months, find out, you know, it's not working like we thought, and then have to start a process.
Exactly.
So I would recommend that you probably consider all those options and even start pursuing the permanent candidate solution, even if you don't end up choosing that option. You start the process.
I was going to say, if you post a position, you don't have to fill it. You know?
No, I don't and believe so. I don't believe so.
So I'm looking.
I would also just say that it's not just because we say we want to do it. There's two boards here, and there is the chance that they can't see eye to eye, or there's the chance that at the osteopathic board, while we may be happy because Justin's doing everything that needs to be done, the board's still running smoothly. Maybe you never know what's happening there, and they may change their mind. So I would recommend that we do consider the other options now rather than waiting 6 months. But to be quite frank about it, is typically our office isn't really that involved in this process. So my role is mostly about the agenda and the open meeting issues and negotiations or drafting of the agreements for the ISA, but mostly I'll just do my best to facilitate you getting the information you need from AUA or helping with agendas and things like that.
Okay.
If there's a committee needed for interviews, I'll volunteer.
Okay.
Well, I mean, if you need any work on that, then I can do it.
Thank you.
I'm here to work.
But only to the three of us.
Yeah.
is staff allowed to entertain those interview processes?
Yeah, I mean, well, it's the only rule is essentially that the three of you can't meet without giving notice in an agenda.
Okay.
Which isn't the end of the world. I mean, if you guys all had to meet anyway, you could do a telephonic meeting of a committee that's noticed an agenda.
Right. But staff would be available to assist in any of
But yeah, so anyone can be on a hiring committee that's just going to make a recommendation informally to the board, because the board ultimately would have to do the interviews in a public meeting if you're going to conduct formal interviews. And then the board would have to make the final vote. The rest is kind of just gathering data to consider, and that can be done by anyone, really.
Would you be interested in being part of the interview committee? I mean, you spend more time with this role than any of us. So I think it's important you have some thoughts and feelings.
It's always important to have somebody on the ground.
Do you want to be involved with hiring your boss?
A
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. I'll call for the question. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Could you restate it just so that I'm clear?
I understood it to be that to approve the plan of drafting and ultimately reviewing an ISA to share the executive director's services with the Osceola Ethnic Board for a period of 6 months.
Kind of like we approve of the concept, kind of.
Approve the concept subject to reviewing the final agreement and subject to the other party agreeing. The plan is to move forward pursuing that option, and that the option on the table currently is a 6 month evaluation of that, or a 6 month term, which could be extended, or with probably some shorter periods of putting it on your agenda to reevaluate how it's working. But the agreement would.
So with
I take direction to go work with my counterpart to work on a 6 month ISA between these two boards from this vote. The easy way to answer.
Okay, so those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, hearing none, motion carries, and final motion will be to adjourn if anyone wants to make that.
Joshua Knopf, I'll move to adjourn today's meeting.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, we're adjourned.